Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of America's Most Unwanted and the people who find them. We have a great case for you this week. Fugitive John Charles Price. Joining me on this quest is, well, or very soon will be, recovery agent. Oh, here he is. Speak of the speak of the devil. William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, always delightful to have you on the program.
Always my pleasure, Simon. My pleasure.
I know this is off script. Did you have any luck?
I did. I have it ready, teed up, ready to go.
Perfect. Okay. And also on the line, recovery agent Matthew Todd. Matthew, are you enjoying your field trip?
I wish I could say yes, but I'm out here in the sticks.
And
I'm just waiting for some banjos to start playing.
Right.
And that's when I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
Another fine mess Cobra put you in.
yeah, thanks.
And also this week, we have the owner of Surety 3 and general agent for Palmetto Insurance, Rod Dowston. Rod, it is always great to have you on the program.
Well, thank you, Simon. It's always great to be here. And I hope Matt is not out there hanging anyone.
I'm afraid to be the one that's being hung.
Matt, considering they don't know who you are, so I don't know why the caller said that, but I figure I'd give you a joke.
Okay, we have this really interesting case. Let me set the stage. On October the 3rd, one John Charles Price placed a 911 call at 6:35 a.m. And quite frankly, I'm not even considering getting out of bed at that time. He was in a canoe and had hurt his shoulder. Now, that was Friday. The various agencies were dispatched. There was no sign of Mr. Price or his canoe, if it was indeed his. The news coverage is scant, but Cobra, I understand you have a copy of the 911 call.
I do. Let me see if I can key it up here for the listeners. Bear with me a second. Technical difficulties here. Yeah, no. Anytime you do this kind of crap, it always has some kind of fallacies in here. How in the hell did this happen? Okay. Bear with me a second there.
No problem.
It's a pain in the ass, I tell you. Okay. Let's see here. The idea thing is to be able to back up. There we go.
So, what was your emergency?
Oh, I had an accident like this.
Are you injured?
Yes.
To the rest to the sheriff's office. Are you on
I'm under a bridge somewhere.
Okay, I've got it, like, right on a 206.
Yeah.
Sir, what happened?
I was, like, trying to, I was drop my friend off, and I hooked there was something in the canoe. Murder. And I stopped to get it out. And I fell. I dumped everything over.
Okay,
my, so... I got my shoulder. I had shoulder problems with my rotator cuff, and I can't move my shoulder. But anyway.
Anybody doing out in a canoe that early, but he starts off saying, I was riding shotgun
and I dropped off my friend, and then my motor on my canoe got hung in something, and the whole thing flipped, and I just dried out my phone. Well, all that right there is telling. Then he goes into way too much detail about his shoulder injury from a long time ago. So it's a farce, that we know, but we're trying to figure out, was he on top of the bridge sitting there knowing that they were going to triangulate him to
exactly. That's what I mean.
A spot. Yeah. Yeah, he knew that they were going to triangulate him to a certain spot, and then he hit it from there, and he was already mobile. Because my question is where's this friend? And if he was riding shotgun, how did he drop his friend off? Everybody knows when you're riding shotgun, you are the passenger riding along. So there's no vehicle found. There's no canoe found in the water, no boat found in the water, no materials found in the water. And they said that there was a canoe found in the yard. But
he only has one canoe.
He only has one canoe, okay.
Only one canoe.
And they never said if it was wet or if it was dry or whatever. I think that
no.
He probably was out the day before and said, damn, this would be a great story. And in the morning, he's packed up, ready to go. He goes back to that point where he knows they're going to triangulate. And I don't hear the phone clicking off as a normal click-off. It sounded to me like he deep-sixed the phone right there on the spot, threw it in the water, and that's what broke the communication. So that's my take on the 911 tape. I don't believe that he had a boating accident whatsoever. I know he's on the run, and it's just a matter of time before this gang here finds him and brings him back to justice.
Rod, you're a seasoned veteran. Do you buy the 911 call at all?
No, not at all. When I said that if he was ever there, it's because of the fact, what I'm trying to say, did he actually have that accident? We know he was there because the operator, by mistake or I don't know what it was, told him exactly his location. But the problem is, if you listen to that, he never said where he actually had that accident. So by listening to that 911 call, he never said he had accident on 301. He just said that he had an accident and he flipped over. And also from the search, from the police officer's search, sky, air, and land, and water, they didn't find anything that was mentioned about anything was flipped over or any of the stuff or the contents that was inside the canoe. So I haven't read anything about that or heard anything about they finding any of the content for the canoe, or even if, it, like Matt said, even if it was a canoe, more than one. Matt said he only owned one, but they found that one canoe at his house. So I don't think that incident even happened. I don't think he was never there. He never had an incident. The problem is he went to that location in some form of a vehicle, and he left in a form of a vehicle.
Right. I'm in total agreement. Ron, you've been living and breathing this story for almost 6 weeks. Do you have any theories on the vehicle he might have been using?
We ran down everything that he's ever owned. The last two vehicles that he had were sold in the month of July, except for his personal vehicle, which is the Range or Land Rover Discovery that is parked in front of his home as we speak. I think it should be noted, and one of the interesting parts to this is his mother has only reached out one time to investigators and or the Coast Guard or law enforcement to find out the status of the search for her son.
Oh, God.
Doesn't that kind of say it all? I was talking to Matthew earlier today, and I shared my theory that the mother should be showing some emotion, that there's no grief, which you would expect a mother to have. I'd be expecting anger. She is on the nut for $25,000.
$225,000.
$250,000.
It's $250,000.
Okay. Right, $250,000. So far, you know, she spent $25K.
Right.
To,
that don't count.
Right.
Yeah, that don't count.
But, you know, if she's not grieving, you know, I would expect her to be, at the least, very, very pissed off. And she doesn't seem to be either of those.
She's not. The interesting thing is the first time we interviewed her was that Monday that he failed to appear in court once we had the warrants in hand. And the interesting thing about the conversation with her was she had this wailing type body language that she was just completely beside herself. However, not a tear dropped from her eye. And she would go from that to being, like we're talking now, almost interchangeably.
Now,
so, I personally think Mom is completely full of manure.
you can say shit.
Yeah, she's full of shit. Just go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're not covered by FCC rules. Feel free to swear all you want.
So anyway, that's kind of where we're at with Mom. But I think Mom, I think for the most part, I think Mom has this ill idea that those individuals that are looking for her son are going to treat her with kid gloves because of, one, her age, and two, her meek kind of stature. Although that's going to change tonight, this evening.
Yes, sir, Bobby.
Ron, just for your information, there is a visitor here.
There is?
Yes.
Can you see a tag on it or anything?
We're waiting. They pulled in real quick. I'm waiting for them to, when they leave, I'll get it.
Okay.
Is it a small silver car?
Nope. It's a SUV. Looks like maybe a Ford Explorer.
Okay. It may be Gretchen. We may be familiar with that, but we can confirm it with the tag number.
Okay.
I love live radio, but this is getting liver by the moment.
Oh, yeah. One thing your callers may not know is we are positioned all over the place. We are waiting to hit this house. Everybody coming in, everybody coming out is being monitored, has been monitored for the last 12 hours. And we're just waiting for that opportune moment. We're waiting for one more investigator to show up on scene. And then it's time to shock and awe here. So right now, I mean, we're ballsy. I mean, if y'all listening on the air, yeah, we're fixing to hit your fucking house, believe it.
I'm not sure I'd have said that on air, but
never before have we been so ballsy. Ron,
well, he said he ballsy.
Rod's done crawled underneath the bed now, because me and Rod really don't operate like that. You don't know we hit it until we hit it. But this one, if y'all listening, we think we hit it. We think we hit y'all.
Okay, let's go back to Mr. Price. I understand he has a house next to Mama's.
Exactly.
It is right. And not only does he have a rather nice-looking Land Rover Discovery, but a Winnebago, which I certainly wouldn't, you know, say no to if someone was to give it to me.
That belonged to his dad and his mom. And mom, according to mom, she can't drive the thing. John is the only one that can drive it.
Yeah. Right.
So she'll want her son back so he can drive the Winnebago, won't she?
Yeah, right. That would be another emotion.
Hey, you know, speaking of which, guys, have we checked Craigslist and surrounding ad list to see if either one of those vehicles is up for sale?
Because my opinion is already on that because the reason what you told me about the parts.
Right, right. Because yeah. What ended up happening is he parted with his motorcycle, which is a Harley, and his other vehicle back in July. So he had seed money to hit the road, but he's going to run out of money soon, and somebody's going to have to front him some more money. So I'm wondering if those vehicles got for sale signs or if they're listed anywhere.
Okay, let's talk about the parts, because that definitely got my interest. Something like $300 was spent at a camping store. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh, right. That's correct.
My first thought was.
Oh yeah.
Oh, tent, sleeping bag, you know, all of those good things. But
that was our initial thought as well, and the bondsman on this case and myself were. We drove through some pretty dense woods along the Matanzas River, checking different areas where some homeless tent cities are and some rustic and primitive campsites are, to no avail. And then once an individual made contact with the camping store, they pulled the actual receipt from the purchases, and it showed what was actually purchased, which were parts for an RV. And it wasn't actually camping equipment. And the interesting thing is each time that we've been to the residences and searched the residences, we found nothing by way of any parts for that Winnebago anywhere.
Maybe there's another one.
Yeah.
That was the thought. That was a thought we had. We also know that in doing surveillance on the property, that one of the friends of the mother that used to work at the bank she worked at was working on said Winnebago that's on the property. So.
Those parts that are on that receipt, are they germane to any particular vehicle run?
Not that I'm aware of. It was like, I think it was like tubing, some pump, like a pump part, and some other things that the marshal on the case gave me privy to.
Okay. How far back was it purchased?
A week before he disappeared.
Could they be interchangeable parts? I mean, could I get a copy of the receipt or anything like that? Are they interchangeable parts? Could they be made, manufactured, used for something else?
I'm not aware. We haven't been we're not privy to a copy of the receipt. If I were, you'd have it.
Okay.
I should go ahead and tell you the marshals have been working this case. However, they, as everyone knows, the marshals have cases everywhere, and there have been a couple other suspected Signal 5 suspects, which are murderers, that the marshals have been dealing with in this local area. So they have not devoted an abundance amount of time to this particular case. However, they are working it very diligently, and I can't say enough good things about the agent that's assigned to it.
Right.
He's been very close contact with me, and we actually did most of the legwork prior because he was tied up on a Signal 5 case. He basically gave us our marching papers and told us what we needed to do. We know he rented a U-Haul of approximately a month prior to leaving, and it traveled 93 miles round trip, and he returned it to the same place that he got it from. So we, of course, got that all out. So we know we have a real good feeling he's still in the local area. We don't believe
right.
he's left the state or left the country.
Right.
And we've done our due diligence. We reached out to the Department of State. He does not have a passport, so there's no way of him leaving.
Okay.
The,
Two things there, Ron. You got 93 miles round trip, subtract a little bit. You need to look for warehouses within a 35-mile range, because that's probably what he did with some of his stuff, is put it in storage somewhere. That's what it sounds like to me, someplace mm-hmm. germane to him. Also, when you mentioned the marshals, are you referring that the U.S. Marshals Service has adopted the case, or this is the sheriff's office has assigned their active marshal, you know, because all of them pick up marshals, they get TAD'd to the Marshals Service. So is this an official... U.S. Marshals have adopted the case, or
they have adopted the case with a federal ID number, and it's under the purview of a woman by the name of Rachel out of the Jacksonville field office.
Perfect. Yeah, a lot of people get confused. All U.S. Marshals are working, and typically, what it is, it's a local deputy that has two hats. Sometimes he works for the marshals, and people recognize him as a U.S. Marshal when he's out there doing it. But it's a big difference between that and the U.S. Marshal Service adopting a case and taking the case on, because that is America's bounty hunter right there. Right, Rod?
Hey, Rod. Exactly. I've worked with Marshal Service closely on a number of different cases in my 10 years of doing this. But that was my immediate thing. As soon as we got word that there was going to be an issue with this case, I immediately reached out to the lead investigator, which is Rachel in Jacksonville. She's the one who deals with all of the sexual predator cases. And as soon as we got the warrant, she immediately got us adopted into the U.S. Marshals Service.
Perfect. Hey, another thing, Matt, you did make that phone call, did you not? You notified law enforcement you're out there?
Oh, yeah, they've known a while.
Okay, good enough.
Ah, what an exciting life you guys lead.
Hey, man. We just like to get some recognition for this shit. I mean, hell, you know, we're going to do all this. We're going to run this rabbit out the briar patch, and we just like to get a little recognition. You know, there's 47,000 of us nationwide, and, you know, just give us a little recognition every once in a while. We'll be all right.
Okay, Rod, you're the, I shouldn't say brains behind the endeavor, but... You do have a lot of experience. How do you, or how would you see this case coming together?
Well, Simon, from what Ron just told me, is Rachel is a pretty good investigator herself by being with the U.S. Marshals Service. They are the best bounty hunters, so to speak, in the world. And they are privileged to many different things in which regular bounty hunters like myself or Cobra or licensed agents are not. And for them to share the information with Ron or any other agent will be a great privilege to us, because from us looking on the outside in, it'll be hard, but due to the fact that Ron has the inside track, he's with the best family that he ever can be with. I see this coming to a conclusion, hopefully quickly, but like he said, they have a lot of cases they dealing with, single fives and whatever, and Joe is out of that same office as Rachel up there in Jacksonville. He's a U.S. Marshal as well up there, but he Rachel handles rape. I guess Joel would handle the secret files, because that's what his job is up there in Jacksonville in the U.S. Marshals Service, and that's who I deal with. So I think this thing will come to a conclusion very well.
All right. Now, I'm sitting in Mississippi. So, you know, I can't be called boots on the ground. But it seems to me that the canoe story is complete bullshit. Besides which, how many canoes have motors on them?
Not very many, but some do.
Right.
Some do.
Now,
you can't put motors on them, though. These very small motors.
Oh, yeah, we call them trolleys.
A trolling motor. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
And then there's
a style
called a canoe.
All right. Here in Mississippi and Louisiana, there are pirogues, which are essentially canoes, that do have motors on them. But I'm guessing it's pretty rare in Florida. And who the hell goes canoeing at, you know, 5:30 in the morning?
That's a good question. He's not canoeing. It's a lie. It's a lie that he didn't think through very clearly. That's all.
But he doesn't have a passport. He's never traveled outside of the States. It would be easy to say, oh yeah, he had money. He did a runner for Mexico. But I'm sorry, I can't buy that. You know, where is he?
He's not going to leave his mom. Like I said, he's a basement dweller. He's lived with his mom since he was for almost his entire life. He's only married once, and his ex-wife lives next door to his mother.
So, oh, this gets better and better.
So, I mean, he's not that umbilical cord was never cut.
Wow.
So 35 miles is not a far distance, and I'm calling 35 miles because you got a little bit of running around this way and that way and backing up and pulling in, but it was 90 couple of miles round trip from the dealer to the dealer. So when he left there, he went to his house, and you subtract those miles, and then he went to the storage and back to there, you subtract those. So I'm thinking somewhere in the 35, 40-mile radius, he's got a warehouse, and the dumb shit's probably got it in his name. So I would canvas that, pull up your charts, and find out where he's at.
Okay. Here's the bigger question. What was in the U-Haul? I mean, you don't rent a U-Haul for...
driving around.
Yeah, right, the air ride suspension. You rent it.
It was a 20-foot truck.
Damn.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah. Because it makes 26, so 20 is right in the middle. That's the medium size, yeah.
Well, would that be big enough for a canoe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Good question. Ron, have you, when you went to Mama's house, of course, you searched it real good. Were you able to enter into his house and search his house as well and see what kind of shit's missing? What's
there
missing?
There was two sofas left and a... and two TVs and a entertainment center.
My understanding, right. Goodwill was here. There's a Goodwill truck that pulled up here,
yep,
not so long ago.
Salvation Army was there, has,
yeah,
been there. Goodwill's been there.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. All right, so essentially, the house is bare.
Mm-hmm.
Aha, grasshopper. I hate to quote David Carradine, but yeah,
he has a room in Mom's house that still has furniture and a gun safe that only has two handguns and a single military rifle, where when he was arrested in September of 2013, all of his guns were laid out in his house, and he had a couple AK-47s and AR-15s, because the sheriff's office actually notated that in their report. However, they were unable to take them or seize them due to the fact that he was being arrested on a child porn charge and not a violent crime.
Mm. So wonder where those guns are. This sounds
I
like
think they've got he's got them with him.
This sounds like another Christopher Rendu and a warehouse full of shit. And he may be living in the warehouse.
Not an Eric Fiend.
Oh. Now, here's a wild idea for you. The U-Haul. U-Haul don't like to lose their vehicles. So, so they're all equipped with GPS. Have you approached U-Haul to see if they have any records? That might be illuminating.
Well, most of them don't have GPS in them, Simon. Some riders do, but U-Haul hasn't come up to this century yet. If they did, it would have made a lot simpler, because the Marshal Service would have gotten that directory pulled immediately to find out where that truck was on that given day, and they would have mapped it all the way out. So U-Haul isn't, it's not like Ryder and some of the other ones that have the global tracking system in them. Most of those trucks aren't worth stealing any damn way. And if you know by reading news, they usually blow them things up, So they don't per se put them in. If they would have done that, hell, this would have been game over already.
Okay, Ron, I think it was you that told me this. Prior to 2013 and this child porn charge, really, he was a pretty exemplary guy. You know, a couple of speeding tickets, and that was it.
He had some driving license issues, he had a couple charges out of Joplin, Missouri.
Yep.
But I could never see exactly what the charges were.
Grand theft.
Okay.
Ooh. Nothing wrong with a little bit of grand theft.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been told that he's been involved in the fine art of thievery.
Excellent. But
rarely caught, by the sounds of it.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, we heard a story that when he was a mechanic with Land Rover, he was stealing Land Rover parts, and that's why he got fired. But they could never find the parts to be able to charge him.
That's easy. They're sitting in the front yard in that black vehicle. That dog is sitting in the back. He's guarding something, damn it.
Okay, but there's another element that I think is worthy of airing on air.
The truck?
He's a mechanic. And mechanics don't make bad money, but they don't make great money. I understand there's some sort of blind trust involved. Anyone want to jump in on that?
Our understanding is that Dad, prior to his being deceased, had some money. We don't know how much. We don't know where. Other than to know that Mom's house payment is paid monthly from a bank, which I've not been given that name yet. Not that there's much that we as bondsmen can do on the financial side without a subpoena or a search warrant. But her payment is paid on the house from this single account at one bank, and there's a stipend of money that is provided from that same bank for John that she is executor of. And that's the only two payouts made by the by that particular bank account.
Okay, so the money would go to Mama Bear, and Mama Bear would have to give it to Baby Bear.
Exactly.
Ah. Now, I believe you mentioned earlier that Mr. Price was married, and his ex lives next door.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I have an ex, and we get along just fine, but we like to keep at least one continent away from each other.
A continent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what we've been doing wrong, Rod. We ain't a continent away, damn it.
I'm half a state away from mine, so.
Now, we find that living on the same continent never works. But, yeah, that's an entirely different story.
Have you interviewed the ex-wife, Ron?
Oh yeah, that's actually where we had set up surveillance for the last 6 weeks. She's been extremely helpful, and her new husband has been extremely helpful as well. They actually gave us the gate key or the gate code to get into their gate, so that we could come and go as we pleased.
You know this Yahoo's got a son, right?
And that son is also there at, he's been living with the mother, but he just recently bought a new piece of property one county up in Clay. And
how many miles is that?
Our understanding is that the new property is in the Middleburg area, which is approximately 43, 44 miles from where.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
We've looked at the son fairly. We've put him under some pretty strict scrutiny. The last interaction that he and his father had was a fist fight in the driveway of his mother's house.
Cool.
Yeah. Did not end well for John. He pretty much got his ass whipped.
whoops.
Yeah. So there's really no, there's aside from the fact that the son of it being a father and son, and you know, I mean.
Hold on 1 second.
One thing we'd like to know today, guys, is this. We would like to know who his friend is. He willingly gave that information up, that he was riding shotgun and he dropped his friend off. So I'd like to know who his friend, immediate friend, is of that particular day or that particular month or whatever. That he gave that up. So that, you know, people say things, you know, in a nanosecond. And so there may be a friend involved in this. And maybe through the son or whoever you got to interview tonight, find out who the hell that friend is.
Son's not sure. Like I said, like I told you, Cobra, son has not had, has had a very strained relationship with him, even living right next door to each other. His own, or the son's own grandmother didn't even, wouldn't even come over for birthdays or holidays or anything.
He may know
living
that name
right across the street.
He may know that name or have seen a vehicle showing up there or something.
Right.
He may not have communication, but he's not oblivious to what's going on around his surroundings.
Exactly.
Right.
He's given us a couple different avenues to check on that. We've run down several of the friends, and I mean, I've actually, when we first got the case, we went and saw several of the named supposed friends of Mr. Price, and we interviewed them at work and really put them on notice that we were looking for them. And most of them most of the so-called friends cut ties with him after his porn arrest the year before.
While he was in jail for 4 days, did he have any visitors other than mommy?
That we don't know. We don't have those records. That may be another avenue we may need to check.
Yeah.
They have video visitation, don't they?
Do you have his phone number that he called 911 from? Do you have that number?
We do.
All right. Okay. Well, don't lose that number. Do you know what service provider it was?
Metro PCS.
Good deal. Okay. Rod, you still out there?
We lost someone. Oh, I think he's back.
No, I'm back. How you doing?
Abbas called in.
They don't care about this radio show. They want their money done.
Hey, was you listening to that live?
Metro is easy to get. That's not a problem.
That's your go-to guy right there, Ron.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I got the best guys on this shit, you know, because when you first asked me about finding out about that tag, you know that at that moment in time, I said, you know what, this case right here is going to require the best of the best, the ones that have some abilities to reach out to stuff, and that's what you need right now. You need to reach out. You got some good help all the way around the edges. It's personal. It's personal to Rod and myself because old Miss Seacrest, we are good friends with her. She is a beautiful, beautiful person, and Rod and I have enjoyed her company for 20-some years, even though this is not her, but this is the estranged other woman. But you know what? We keep in the family and try to help each other out here.
Matt, how's it going? And any luck on the green SUV?
No visual. It hasn't come out yet. I had to get off the line. I don't know if you realize I was off the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheriff rolled up on me.
Oh shit.
Yeah. He wanted to know if they need to be assistance if they found him yet. I was like, he was ready. He wants to play.
Well, tell him come back at 6 o'clock and we can all play. Ron, are you going to wait till the air turns dirty, or are you going to hit it while the air is still light? What you going to do, buddy? Ron.
Sorry.
You gonna hit it when the air turns dirty, or you gonna go in there at light? What you gonna do?
I think we're gonna go in. We're gonna go in strong, and I think the first thing we're gonna do is search that Winnebago, and then we'll sit down and talk to Mont. We'll search the rest of the property, then sit down and with Investigator Merchant. And let him talk with Mom and see what he can get out of her.
Yeah.
Investigator Merchant. Would that be John Merchant?
That's him.
It would be.
One in the same. One in the same. Yep.
Oh, I haven't talked to him in a long time.
John's one of the best. You know, he if anybody can trick her up, he'll trick her up.
did he almost get you, Cobra?
That son of a bitch did. That son of a bitch did. He almost got me, bastard. I'm just glad. Hell, you almost got me too, Ron. Shit, I'm just glad we all friends now. Hell, y'all shooting at the wrong people. God damn it. it's like Rod there. Hell, I can't go out with Rod no more. Rod mad at me and shit. God damn it, Rod. Tell what happened to Rod.
we go out to see a friendly. One of my agents and my agency, Cobra, show up, and he went into hiding. So he called. We called him from the cell phone. He wouldn't answer my call, so I told Cobra to call from his number. Cobra called from his number. He don't answer that neither. So then he called back from Cobra's number, and he talked to Cobra, and Cobra handed the phone to me. And the guy say, it's a police station right next to the office. Do I need to go turn myself in? I'm like, what? I know you done got the warrant for me already. Do I need to turn myself in? I'm like, God, that's not what we're here for. We're here to pick up the file, but that is coming, but we're not here for that. I'm just here to pick up a file. But you bet your ass that's coming, but it's not coming. You won't see me. You'll see the police. Well, if you thought Cobra was the police.
Oh, wow.
That's a guilty heart. Yeah, that's a guilty heart talking right there, because what happened is this guy done, Rod is one of the nicest general agents you're ever going to meet. But the thing is some of these bail bondsmen think that premium, all of it, belongs to them, and they forget that they got a partner, and that partner is the insurance company, and they can't pocket that money. And so this particular guy pocketed a shit pot load of the insurance company's money. So a warrant's coming for his arrest. All we was trying to do.
Warrant's definitely coming.
Oh, yeah. All we were trying to do was stop the bleeding and go find a couple of these defendants that skipped on, and that's all our job was. But when he seen me in uniform four by the rattle, he thought his ass was going down. So he's hiding in the parking lot calling. Hey, man, there's a police station right across the street. I go over there and turn myself in. Man, we ain't here about bullshit. We here trying to find out if we can stop some of the bullshit coming your way, because a lot of it's coming your way. So, and let me say something about Palmetto and Surety 3 right now. They are the friendliest insurance company out there. Just like Matt and I went in business last week, and we come up with an agency called The Bondsman. And we welcome anybody that needs a bond anywhere in the United States to call us. But if you got plans on running and doing this stupid shit, God have mercy on you. Call somebody else, because we ain't playing. Now, at the same time, Palmetto and Surety 3 will help agents. I mean, they help them get to good rates. They help them with continuing education. They help send their babies to school. They do all kinds of shit for their agents. And then one of them agents ain't happy with all that, going to turn around and rob the damn company and rob Rod. So guess what? We're going to make an example and send their happy ass to jail, and that's the end of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the example has to be made.
Oh, yeah, we're going to send his ass up the flagpole and say, look at here, we love you, we treat you like family, but if you rob us, we're going to put your ass in jail, sure as shit.
We'll treat you like a criminal.
That's right. We ain't the ones coming, so when we show up to straighten out some of your mess, don't be afraid, because you ain't going to jail that day. You'll go another day when the police come and get your ass. Now, if you need bonding, you can call me. I don't think you should call Rod, because he's probably going to be still pissed off. But me, I'm bonding.
Yeah,
we'll bond your ass out of jail and hope to God you do run, because now we're going to give it to you full strength. Shit. Simon, it's colorful on this side. Very colorful.
Oh, I, you know, that I have figured out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I sit here at my desk looking at two monitors, and all of my research is done through the internet or the good old telephone.
There you go.
Hey, I just had an idea, Cobra. We need to get one day. We need to get Simon down here on one of these hunts, and we get him out here on the ground.
Listen, I scared the living shit out of Simon showing up at his house one morning, 7 o'clock, with a guy in full chains. I mean, he was chained. I couldn't get another chain on his ass. And Simon about to pass out. He was a little bit weak in the knees when he seen that shit. So I don't know how he would do on a hunt. You know,
I like my computers and telephone.
You know, I just wanted to say, you know, Simon, all seriousness, you know, 2009, they had me shot in the ass and had me looking at a 15-year prison sentence for a crime I did not commit and I was fully legit to do. And, you know, it didn't seem like I had a friend in the world. But you know what? I am very, very blessed this day. Right now, listening to this radio show, I've assembled and surrounded myself with some of the best in the industry. And when shit gets deep, we all reaching out to each other and helping each other and everything. And that's what I encourage the other bondsmen across the state and across the United States. Don't be hating. You know, form a network. Rod right now has opened up a new national agency that more or less you got problems and stuff like that, and you want to get answers, and you want someone to go to bat for you and talk about these things affecting our industry. Rod, won't you tell them what you're working on there right now?
What we're working on right now is the National Surety Association. You know, you got all these different associations out here that's only for themselves, meaning the president of that association is in there for a capital gain or a political gain. I'm not the president of the association. I just help other board members form the association, but we are here to help you. We are really here to help you. We're not going to tell you we're here to help you, but yet we're here to screw you, because I want to have a political career, or I want to know the sheriff of the town, or be buddy-buddy with the prosecutor and the sheriff, and it make my industry or my company more better, and I get all the perks. That's not what we're doing. We here to actually help the agent, and that's what we decided to do, is open up an association. It's a national association. It's not just a Florida association. It's national.
Yeah, and the acronym, it's National Association of Surety Agents, and the acronym is NASA. And I'm proud to sit as a director. So when people ask me now, who do you work for? I said, well, I sit as a director on the board of NASA. Really?
Hey, Rod, boy, way to give the guy a big head. Jeez.
Hey, Matt, maybe you could.
I think he had that already.
Matt, tonight, well, and Ron, you know, maybe you can mention that, you know, to Mama Bear that, well, I know someone on the board of NASA.
Wow. Lord have mercy.
I knew Rod didn't mess up when he told me the name. I said, the what? The National Association of Surety Agents? Well, shit, that's NASA. I'm on the board of NASA. Hey, Mama, I'm on the board of NASA.
I want a baseball cap.
damn. Boy, I'll tell you what.
And mind you, Simon, I'm just a board member. I'm not the president. I'm not anything. It's regular elections. We'll be electing the president and the board and all of that stuff come January. I'm not even running for president. I'm not running for anything. I just want to see it kick off and make it, and I want to see us national and make it good for agents.
You
and
mean to tell
also
me?
Also professionals.
You mean to tell me I can actually run for president of the board?
You actually can be president of the board.
Oh, my God. Man, who
oh, Rod, don't do it. Don't.
Hey, wherever that board is housed, you're going to have to make it probably a 5-acre warehouse or something to fit his head in there.
I know, right?
He did some shit. God damn. Hell, I'm just happy being on the damn board. That's around president.
Okay, let's get back to our good friend, Mr. Price.
Okay.
Ron,
yes,
the Sun has some property, you said 40-45 miles away, and that definitely is in the range that the U-Haul could have taken. Is there an actual property, or is it just land?
It's land and a house. He's actually, I think he's scheduled to be married. I think they're supposed to be getting married to the son and his girlfriend. And they bought this house, or he bought the house to be their home. But it didn't really dig too deep into that particular thing just based on their, on the strain of their relationship. So we haven't really left that side of it alone.
This might sound a silly question. Today's economy sucks.
Uh-huh.
Where does a 23-year-old get the money to buy a house?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm just a big fan of the money trail in these kinds of situations.
The diesel. I can tell you, he's a diesel mechanic, and he's been on his job, I believe it's with Caterpillar, for 5 years. And
he's making money. He's making money.
And his grandmother. Which would be his mom's mom, not the other grandmother, has helped him out, and the house that they bought was a foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not like a brand new, you know, cookie cutter house with property or whatnot and all that to where he's paying $100,000+. It was a foreclosure property, and his mother's mother helped him out with it. He's a legitimately a good kid, hard worker, from everything that we've been able to pull up on him. And he's starting out with he's trying to start a new family.
I'd still have to find out if Daddy helped him get started with some furniture and stuff like that.
Correct.
Weigh in or weigh out whether or not Daddy's got a warehouse someplace with this stuff stored in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trust me, I wasn't trying to disparage the kid.
Right.
It's just I always find that the money trail takes you to interesting places.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right about that, Simon, because, hell, they thought I was a good kid for a long time, and I really was.
Do share, Rod, because this will blow Simon's hair.
I can't share because I'm a good guy. No, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. he's a good guy. He's trying to stay a good guy.
Well, at least I'm trying. At least I, me and my evil. Well, they weren't evil ways because they were very lucrative. I understand where Simon was coming from with that question.
You got me over here chomping, man. I'm chomping. But I don't want to have to see you come Monday and take an ass whooping, so I'll just be quiet.
No, I mean, Rod, I think you agree with me. 9 times out of 10, it is the money that drives people. And
the DMO, yeah. It's the money.
99.99 times.
And mommy, I hope you guys really do a good job out there this evening. Don't let the old Cobra boy down here and interview her, get right up in her face. And one of the questions I'd love to know, has she prepared for a funeral yet? I mean,
The problem is with this is that it doesn't matter to me that me and my son or me and my daughter had a fight or I got my ass whooped, I'm still your father. And no matter what, blood is thicker than water. No matter how many times my family tells someone, oh, I haven't seen daddy, I haven't kept in touch with my dad, bull crap. You're going to keep in touch with him as long as he's been in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't believe the story. I don't believe any of it. We just did one where the daughter swore up and down she had seen her dad where did we catch her? In the same house with him.
Yeah.
Case in point, Rod, are you back talking to your nephew yet?
No.
No, okay.
But he have reached out.
He has.
I'm not ready. He has reached out. I'm not going to say he hasn't. He apologized and everything, but I'm just not ready right now because I'm not the one to apologize to. It's the sister.
Right. You mind if I share that one a little bit? Not no names, just share a little bit.
Well, I don't like it, but, no, I don't want to.
Well, let's just put it this way. If Rod happens to have a liking to someone and you lose your fucking mind and put your hands on them, Rod will bitch slap you into the Memorial Hospital where you will stay coma for a couple of days. And when you wake up, I mean, just slapped you into the coma. And when you wake the fuck up, you're going to find out everybody all right.
Now, Rod, I don't believe that for one moment. I think you're a really nice guy.
He is.
I really am, Simon. I really am.
Just don't push that jackass button.
So, Ron, are you going to be participating in tonight's party?
Oh, yes.
That's something.
Oh, hold on! I just got a text. Let me see what's going on here.
He's gonna be the one wearing the fez on top of his hat. He's gonna be the one running through the damn door. Get on the ground! I am on the ground. Well, stand up now. Get on the ground.
Get on the ground. You're not moving fast enough.
I put that bitch on the ground. I put everybody on the floor. Get everybody on the damn floor. All right. Now we got your attention. Yeah. I wouldn't be going about it. That's why y'all won't let me come tonight, because I put my ass on the ground. I put everybody's ass on the ground. friends, relatives, everybody. Get going, Griff. Get on the ground. God damn it. Shit. Rod knew too, but Todd know. Hell, last weekend, weekend before last, we tell a motherfucker get on the ground. He don't get on the ground. He get lit up with a taser and a dog tore his ass up. Man, I just like, that dog looked at me and smiled, like as if to say, watch this. He going to come out that window. I'm going to eat his ass. Sure did.
broke his arm.
Broke his arm, baby. Snapped that bitch.
Okay, Matt. Are you ready for tonight's adventure? You've got your list of questions?
I've got several questions that need to be answered.
He's got to get out the car first and run around in the damn woods there for a little bit because he's been sitting there and shit. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, I did get out in the woods. Let's put it that way, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's why the police showed up. They wanted indecent exposure yourself.
Is it true that recovery agents always travel with a roll of toilet paper?
A bucket with a trash bag in it and several empty Dasani water bottles. Put that
there
way.
You go. So,
with some cat litter.
Yeah, exactly.
and some extra underwear tucked in the dash.
Trials and tribulations of surveillance.
Yep.
Hey, man, listen, me and Rod went to IHOP Friday, and we was going to eat a little breakfast, talk about some shit, and then we was going to go and catch us a fugitive. Hell, I had to rush Rod's emergency back to the house, man. That IHOP boy has that shit tore up.
Ron, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. I was getting a text from the fourth wheel in this endeavor, and I'm trying to see what all's going on.
Oh my God, I pray I don't get a text.
Okay. What else is there to say about Mr. Price? Anyone got anything that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, we haven't talked about how we love the guy. I mean, I really love the guy. It should be a TV show called Price.
I just say, why don't you just be a man and, if anybody gets word out to him or you happen to hear this show like some of the fugitives do when it's too late, why don't you just go ahead and do the right thing and turn your happy ass in and maybe they'll take good care of you. Yeah.
Oh, he will take good care of me, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Hey, three hots and a cot.
What jail would he be taken to, Ron? Where would he be from? Where he's at now? Will he get the chance to go over to Putnam, or is he going to go to St. John's, or where?
Oh, he's going to get drug kicking into St. John's County.
Good.
Well, I guess we're about. We're about done on Mr. Price. I do hope that you will all keep me informed because I would love to put up an article about his capture.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're going to break that to you first before First Coast or any of them get it. If we can help it, we're going to try to get it to you just as quick as possible so that you heard it first on Blogger News. He is in custody. Yes, sir, Bobby.
And we might even be able to get you a video recording of the apprehension.
Whoa.
Ooh, I'd love that.
If I'm there, I guarantee it.
Man, these guys carry a TV crew around with them. Oh, I love this.
Oh, yeah. We carry a TV crew with us in our pocket. In fact, Matt is set up over there right now with the cameras and everything, correct? I hope so. Don't forget. We have some prior recorded interviews with the mother. Were you able to share those, Ron, with my investigator over there yet?
Not yet, but because they're pretty lengthy. It included not just the interview, but the entire search of the property as well. And of course, it's on the taser system, so it's not. I can't cut it and edit it because it's evidence or evidence grade.
Because I wanted him to get a feel before y'all enter the house tonight. I want him to get a feel of her demeanor and everything so that he can take it up a notch.
Gotcha. Yeah. I can show it to him on my phone, though, because I don't know if you're aware of with the taser system, you can actually view recorded video with audio via Android. So
he's got one of them. Yeah, he's got one of them. So, yeah, I just like him to see a little how her demeanor is on past days and see if we can shake her off of her stand there and to see if she'll say something to get herself caught up.
Oh, yeah, we're going to knock her off the perch tonight.
I'm really bothered by the mother. You know, nothing seems to show the emotions I would suspect. I mean, is she in on the game?
Oh, absolutely.
I think so.
Absolutely. I wouldn't even question that.
Ooh.
I think
how
she's
about
a player in the game, if you want to know the truth. Because I actually believe she may not have partaken of what he downloaded and what he was involved in, but she knew he was that kind of guy and protected him for years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has any of this been asked of the ex-wife, and has she shared, that she had suspicions of him? Because the chronological events of child molesters and rapists and these kind of people, usually they go unnoticed for about 17 years. So, and when they're captured, they're usually around about his age when they're finally found out. So, but people in their life know these things. In fact, Todd and I have a case right now where, it's been about 17 years on a case we just picked up, a private sector case where a guy's been molesting girls at a school, which, incidentally, he's Muslim, and I think, and he's on a national terrorist watch list. So my thinking is that he started early getting his 72 virgins lined up,
Well, Cobra, you couldn't be any more right, because one of the major irreconcilable differences in that marriage was the fact that when his ex-wife would come home, she'd flip on the TV to be all kinds of depravity on the TV.
And got children in the house. If you're going to be sick and twisted like that, you need to get you a remote system out in the woods someplace where you can go giggity all by your damn self. I swear to God. That's just, it's bad enough, but then you put that in the minds of little children and stuff, and it's just horrific. It's just, that's why I love my job. I would love to be there on the takedown, and I would love him to bust a move. I'm salivating.
What you got to preach to him like dog does?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him. Put your hands behind.
Rod, the only preaching I intend to do with him is at the end of 50,000 volts.
Do you believe? Yes, I believe. What do you believe? I believe you're trying to electrocute my ass.
All right, we're back to the blood is thicker than water situation.
Oh, yeah.
And indeed it is. But I'll tell you this. If my son was caught and charged with child pornography, my take would be keep him in fucking jail. I don't want him.
Yeah, what I did to the next door neighbor's lizard sure does compel in proposition Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the, you know, Simon, that's the beauty of our system, though. It really is. Because...
unless you're a bondsman. I know what you're going to say, but unless you're a bondsman.
True.
You mean,
this makes the second case that I've had since... I shouldn't say second case that I've had like this. I've had many, but the last one that I had that was even anywhere close remotely to what we're dealing with right now was an individual who fled from Jacksonville here in Florida, and when he fled, he went to Dublin, Ireland. He ran for about a year and a half. We caught him in Dublin. And of the 18 cases that year of fugitives that the federal government attempted to extradite back from Ireland, my case, my guy, Emmett Martin, was the only one that the High Court of Ireland was willing to extradite.
Cool.
But sadly enough, he stole my thunder after I did all that hard work in finding him. Because when he got word from his attorney that the high court was going to send him back here to answer to the charges, he goes to the top of cliffs at Howth, outside of Dublin, and jumps to the rocks below. He took the cloud all the way out.
Cool. Very cool.
He didn't steal your thunder. He was scared of you, man.
You know, I find that very interesting. We always say that's the coward way out, but I think that's the most bravest thing he ever could have done. Because
absolutely.
I don't know, can I jump off a cliff? I don't know,
hell
can
no.
I put a gun in my mouth and pull the trigger?
That's right. That's
I don't
right.
know, can I put a gun to my head and pull the trigger? I think you
right.
have to have some hell of a balls to do that.
Yep.
I don't
absolutely.
Know. I'm just
absolutely.
Saying. I don't know.
I think I do know. I know you got to have some balls. In 2009, I had a lot of shit going through my mind, but a bully was the last one I could stick through there because I'm telling you right now, it takes some balls to do that shit. Hell, it takes, I don't mind telling you, hell, I've told the story before. Listen, I wanted to die. I thought the whole damn world done flipped up on me, man. I ain't never been in no trouble like that. Now, they could put me in prison 15 years, and what the hell? Everybody's leaving me. Nobody want to be around. I have to sell all my shit. I ain't got no job. I ain't got no license. Man, the world ended. So I said, well, shit, it's time to check the fuck out of here. But boy, let me tell you what, that's easier said than done. So a bitch jumped off a cliff to the rocks below. God bless him, because that's a man. That's a full-grown fucking man right there.
that's my thought, because I don't think I got those kind of balls.
You know that shit got to hurt.
I just got to face those 15 years.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I faced, 3 life sentences. So I think I can face 15 years.
Hey, Your Honor, Your Honor, he has opened the doorway. Can I go? Can I tell you? He's opened the door, Your Honor. Sorry.
Introduced prior bad acts there, Rod. Be careful of that.
I didn't introduce nothing. I just said I have faced it 3 life sentences. I didn't say anything else.
Well, you're getting the kind of idea here that he's a very good man.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I remember? Is you never should let Corbin know any of your past business because he will look it up and find out, hey, Rod, you are facing 3 life sentences. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I was wondering the same shit.
Of course, the ultimate way of committing suicide would be to jump head first into a wood chipper.
Yeah, that's even better. That's even better. I like the way you British think, man. Them damn wood chippers. I bet y'all fucking Simon. You
takes a set of brass balls.
I talked to Simon 10 times about wood chippers, and he said, "Cobra, I wouldn't go there. That's kind of like sticking your pecker in a wood chipper." He's got a wood chipper. People, you know, putting wood chipper, Simon. You know, you got some peach.
Yeah, Cobra is indeed correct. I did tell him, "Cobra, don't do that. That's like putting your dick in a wood chipper."
But I did it. I had to do it any damn way. God damn it. I never did that. That sounded exciting.
Okay, gentlemen. Our time is just about up. But I want to get everyone's final thoughts. Ron, I believe this is the first time on the program, so we'll give you virgin status and let you go first.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I had to step out of the room for a nature calls break.
Okay. Ron, you are the virgin on the program, so I'm going to give you first opportunity to tell us your parting thoughts for the day.
Parting thoughts? I hope we catch this son of a bitch.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I got.
I rather like that. And Matt, are you in your vehicle or are you out with your bucket?
No, I'm out. I'm inside the vehicle. I think tonight's going to be a game changer. I think we're going to – I have a good feeling we're going to find out a little bit more information directly or indirectly. And if we don't, I can guarantee you we're going to find some other information, which I don't want to disclose on the air. But I think it's going to be exciting.
Right. Yeah, it's a question of – shake the trees and see what fruit falls to the ground.
Call it turning up the pressure in the pressure cooker.
Right. And Rod, any thoughts for us?
Well, I just want to thank Cobra for bringing in a great team. You got Ron. He has over 10 years in law enforcement or whatever else that he was doing, and he dealing with the best hunters in the world. I mean, you can't get any better than the U.S. Marshal Service. And then he brought in the private sector, which would be me, him, and Matt. I think that this thing will come to a conclusion very quickly because the guy is somewhere in the woods or in someone's house. So I don't see him running too long.
And Cobra.
Man, I agree too, man. We have assembled the best team. We're hooked with the best team. And I agree with what Ron said. I can't wait till we catch this son of a bitch. I love it. And here's a guy that didn't want to say cow patty. He didn't want to say shit. He wanted to say manure or something. That comes right out with son of a bitch. So you can tell we're bad influence on this guy. Damn, we broke his chin.
Okay, gentlemen. It has been a great program. Let's hope that we have shaken the trees, as I said, And good hunting tonight. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again Saturday. Till then, goodbye.
Love it.